Well, happy Mother's Day, as I said earlier, to moms, grandmoms, and great-grandmom. We have one great-grandmom here. Where'd you go? There you are. Well, that is amazing. We wish you each a happy Mother's Day. Yes, we do need the calendar to remind us to be thankful for you. Right? Because, I mean, we try. I'm probably speaking as a husband and a father. But once a year, to have Mother's Day is good for us to figure that out. Yes, we do need a calendar to remind us. And today, help us not to take you for granted and to say thank you for all that you do. We appreciate you. Hope you know that from us as a church. And from your significant others. My mom and my granny, Judy's mom and her grandmothers, have been gone for many years already, but our thoughts and thankfulness are with us today for them. As you may miss your moms and your grands and your great-grands, spend some time thinking about them and thanking God for them. My sister and brother-in-law were here a few weeks ago, and I learned some new things about my mom, who's been, as I mentioned, been gone many years already. But I learned some new things, and it made me more appreciative of her. And so as you get together, maybe as families, talk about your moms and siblings or all that, just to gain some new information is good. So our thoughts go towards our moms. We have grateful thoughts. We have good thoughts. We may have some difficult memories. And some of us miss them, maybe deeply this morning. That's the nature of relationships. And for those that we know about in our family and friendship circles who are not able to be moms and struggle with infertility, which is a real thing in our world and in our society and in our town and in our church, let's care for them on this day as well. So let's bow in prayer. And then we'll carry on. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers. And we ask, God, your blessing upon each of them. Father, forgive us when we've taken them all for granted. They've been significant in various different ways in our lives. And even when there's been difficulties, as I know with my own mom, if there's been difficulties, Lord, help us to move beyond those. Give us the strength and courage to appreciate and to love. And then, Jesus, we pray your blessing on all mothers. Significant. God, we just pray your blessing upon moms. Give them much wisdom. Give them much courage. Give them much encouragement to be the ladies, the women, the mothers, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers that they need to be and you want them to be. And then, Jesus, we're also mindful of those that desperately desire to be a mom. And we pray your encouragement as today brings up all kinds of feelings and thoughts for them. May you bless them. May you encourage them today. So thank you. Thank you, Father, for this day on the calendar that reminds us to be grateful and thankful. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Conversation with Jesus. Now I'm going to come around to Mother's Day yet again. But I want to talk about the conversations with Jesus, and even the difficult, the hard ones. Have you ever heard of being a good example? Have you heard about being a good, bad example? Have you heard of those terms? You know, the times when we hear about someone else's great things, you go, oh, I aspire to be that. But we also hear about other people's failures and their sins. And so we learn from them without doing it ourselves. We, at least we should. We learn from a good, bad example. Having our stuff, our sins, our things in our lives forgiven is so important to us. And it is very important to Jesus, so much that he died to be able to forgive us and to properly deal with our sins. He nailed our sins, our mistakes, our failures to the cross. And then, with his resurrection, he was able to pronounce forgiveness upon us. Think about that. Jesus' death was kind of only one-third of his work for us. His death was only one-third. Then comes the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the death isn't meaningful. And as we'll talk about in a couple of weeks, the ascension is the other third of that. And that particular Sunday, you'll have Jesse Penner here, pastor of Pleasant Valley Church, will be here, and I'll be, we're doing kind of a pastor swap that morning, so I'll be over at the Rosenor EMC speaking there, and we're all going to be speaking on the Ascension Day, which is a very important day in our Christian calendar, in the calendar. So, now the life and failures and the sins of Apostle Peter offers great encouragement to keep moving forward in our walk with Jesus, even when we fail, even when we make mistakes, even when we hurt others and we sin greatly. Look at what happened to Peter. Earlier in his relationship with Jesus and as they were moving along, Satan had asked the Heavenly Father to sift Peter, to hurt him, to mess him up. But it says that Jesus prayed for him. Then, as we're coming up to the crucifixion, Peter made a very grand promise that he would not deny Jesus. And he'd be willing to die for Jesus. He was even emphatic about that. He was determined, even if everyone else fails you, I will not, Peter says. Then Jesus corrected him and told him, actually, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. But Jesus died. After Jesus was arrested, and while he was in the trial, Peter became very afraid around a charcoal fire with the other guards and the other people trying to stay warm. He became very afraid as he realized how serious this was getting. And he ended up denying Jesus three times, at times vehemently, even swearing. It seems as if at that time that Jesus and Peter locked eyes. Somehow they were able to see each other. And Peter immediately ran away and wept bitterly. Then Jesus died on the cross. How do you think Peter felt then? He couldn't even apologize, he felt. He couldn't even apologize to Jesus because Jesus was dead. Now what does he do? How does he make this right? There's unresolved sin. What can he do now? Nothing, it seems. See, if Jesus hadn't been risen from the dead, that would have ended so many things. Just dying for a sin isn't enough. Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, and Peter is in disbelief. They all were. We take it for granted. We can look back and go, oh yeah, it happens. But this was disbelief. And then Jesus finds Peter. Now, I want us to understand something here that I think I knew, but it never really grabbed me, because I'm going to talk about the time in John chapter 1 where Jesus talks to Peter about feeding sheep and feeding lambs. And we think that's the forgiveness conversation. It actually isn't. There are two scripture accounts that tell us that Jesus appeared to There are two scripture accounts that tell us that Jesus appeared to Peter privately. No content is found anywhere as to what they talked about. But In Luke 24, verses 33 to 34, there's the passage where Jesus is meeting with two men on the way to Emmaus, and he reveals himself to them. And then within an hour, it says, these two disciples then run back to the other disciples. And they say, within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem when they found the 11 disciples and the others who were gathered with them. They said, the Lord had really risen. And then they say, something that we often skip over, it says, and he appeared to Peter. He appeared to Peter. Jesus met with Peter. Then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, and he was buried, and he's saying Jesus was buried, and Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. And then he says, and he was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. You see, by Peter, and then by the 12. It appears that Paul and Peter would have had some conversations about his failure and then how Jesus met with Peter and talked to him about it. And Peter would have, as we know, he wept bitterly. He would have asked for forgiveness and Jesus would have forgiven him. Again, no details. Nothing more is said or written. And I think this is the point of that. Sometimes our sins are between us and Jesus. And we don't need to talk about our sins and failures. Sometimes our sins are between us and another person and Jesus. And that's where it stays. Some sins just need to stay there. And sometimes I wonder, personally, I know I've done this, the amount of times I may bring up my sin is, have I actually forgiven myself? I tend to beat myself up about some things. And Jesus is saying, we're going to move on. So now we're going to move to John chapter 21. And I want to read, and I've been teaching us a little bit, but I'm going to read, and then at the end I'm going to really encourage us, because this is very encouraging. John chapter 21, verse 1. Follow with me in your Bibles if you can, and if not, then just listen as I read. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. I talked about this last week. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out into the boat and they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, friends, have you caught any fish? No. Somehow they didn't recognize his voice. And then he said, throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. Happened earlier in Luke chapter 5, if you may remember. They're still not recognizing it. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus, who Jesus loved, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, put on his tunic, for he was stripped for work, and jumped into the water, tunic and everything. Can you imagine trying to swim with a tunic? And swam to the shore. The others stayed with the boat. Really nice on Peter, leaving them to do all the work. The others stayed in the boat, pulled the load and net to the shore, and they were about 100 yards from the shore when that all happened. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over another charcoal fire, and some bread. Bring some of the fish you just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the fish. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask who he was. They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them bread and fish. And this is the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples since they had been raised from the dead. Next verse, verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, we need to look at this a little bit here. They're gathered around having breakfast, and it appears that if the conversation was in earshot of the other disciples. So he asks them, "Do you love me more than these?" Now, remember, Jesus had already forgiven him. Remember that there's a charcoal fire here, which is the same fire. John notes it. It's the same kind of fire that Peter experienced when he denied Jesus. So you can see that what's going on. And Jesus is saying, have you really forgiven yourself? Do you feel that you can still move forward? And so he goes on, he says, do you love me more than these? I don't know what these are. Is it more than the fish? Is it more than the disciples? I don't know. But do you love me? Do you love me? And Jesus, and Peter says, you know I love you. Then he says, feed my lambs. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? A second time. Yes, Lord, you know how I love you. Take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Why three times? Why three times? Denied him three times. Wow, does Jesus know how to help somebody? Does Jesus know how to minister to somebody deeply? Because there are three times, three conversations where Peter vehemently denied him. Third time, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question the third time. Lord, you know everything. You know my love isn't what it should be. You know I fail. You know I'm human. You know I want to, but I can't. And he says to him, feed my sheep. Jesus called Peter and the other disciples to feed his lambs and sheep. He's calling every one of us to feed lambs and sheep. He's calling us to feed our children. He's calling us to feed our grandchildren. He's calling us to feed and to tend, to take care of our children, our grandchildren, and our families. And then he calls us as a church to feed and tend all the lambs and all the sheep that we call Rosenor Community Church. He calls us to do that, and then he calls us to then take care of all the lambs and the sheep that we have connection and relationship outside of our church, in our friendships, our relationships, our connections, encouragement, relationship, and influence. How do you think Peter feels as he becomes one of the apostles after this? One of the lead apostles. Do you think he would have struggled with confidence? Do you think he would have struggled with confidence, with guilt? Do you think he would have struggled with shame, feelings of worthlessness? I could never be an apostle, Peter's thinking. I can't. I've done too much wrong. We all do. We all struggle. There are many times, probably a couple of times in a week, maybe not that much, maybe one time. I don't know. It depends on how I'm feeling. I don't feel like I'm a good pastor. I don't feel like I should be a pastor sometimes, just because my own confidence. I think we all feel that. I don't feel like I can actually do a good job in my job. I don't feel like I can be a good parent. All the stuff in the past, I don't know. I remember one time I was meeting with Maine Bread and Butter in Steinbeck, this is a number of years ago, getting some groceries, and my daughter comes up behind me. And so we're talking, and introduced the person that's at the till. I know her. I said, "Oh, this is my daughter, Delaney." "Oh, good." So we talked a little bit, paid for myself, and walked out. Dummy. Who's right there? My daughter. My favorite daughter. My only daughter. What could I have done? To yell it out. You know it. I could have paid for her groceries. She didn't have a whole bunch. It didn't matter. Now, some of you are thinking, "Well, I've done worse." Are you thinking that? That's the point. We can all think we've done worse. And I later apologized to her, and I hope I bought her groceries since. But, and she's like, "Whatever." But that's the thing. We are our worst enemies. We are the ones that say, "Moms, I'm a terrible mother. I'm a terrible grandmother. I'm a terrible great-grandmother. I just, if you knew all the little mistakes, all the sins and stuff I've done, I'm terrible." No. Jesus calls you and me to feed the lambs and tend to sheep. Parenting is one of the biggest areas that the devil goes after. He goes after us to infect us and to then infect our kids and our grandkids. Even as leaders and circles of influence, the devil goes after us. Wherever we can impact others, the devil goes after us. So what do we do? Well, don't become a leader. Don't become a teacher. Don't become an influencer. Certainly, don't become a parent. And don't tell your kids not to become parents, because you shouldn't be a grandparent or a great-grandparent. Just don't. Is that the answer? No. Then Jesus finds us. Peter gives great encouragement, because he's been there. Peter gives us great encouragement. Jesus will always call us to feed the lambs and to take care of sheep. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've come from, he's calling us, he's inviting us, he's saying, "You can do it." So, what's our application and reflection? Number one, what's that one put down that we always hear or we say? What's that one phrase that we often say to ourselves? I'm so dumb. I'm a failure. I'm terrible. I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. I can't do that. Those are my minds. I can't. Do you realize that we always turn into "I can't"? Do you know where it comes from? The devil says to you and to me, "You can't. You are terrible. You are awful. Look at your life. You're terrible." He's the accuser it talks about in Revelation. And what we do is we turn that around and go, "Yeah, I'm stupid. I'm terrible. I'm an idiot. I'm a failure. I'm terrible at this. I could never do this." And we go on, I. That's what Peter would have walked through. And Jesus says to all of us, no. Block that lie. Take that lie. Bind it and throw it away. In the name of Jesus, I take that lie that I can't. I take that lie that I won't. I take that lie that I am an idiot. I'm stupid. I'm whatever. I bind it and I throw it away. I throw it to Jesus. That thing that we say when we make a mistake and we say it, that comes right away and it's an I statement, that's a lie from the devil. Cast it away. Number two, what's one strength that we have? One good thing that we're good at doing. We're not going to be good at everything, but what's one good thing? It's one good thing. Take it and build on it. Thank God for it and keep doing it. And then number three, spend time with Jesus. On what guilts you? Maybe you and I need to have a conversation. I can help you walk through that. Talk to Jesus as Peter would have. They would have talked it through. Talk to him about what guilt you, confess it to him, and move forward. Jesus called Peter and the other disciples. He calls us to feed and take care of his lambs and his sheep. Worship team, come on. Given us. Empower us. Help us, Jesus, to feed your lambs, to take care of your sheep. Bless us this day and the week to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.